Amen. Thank you, Father. Tonight we're going to do a teaching or sharing on the faith of Abraham or Abram and Sarai being understood or misunderstood. And so I think most people go through both. And really what it's about, one thing we're going to find out about Abram and Sarai is obedience. So obedience is so important. It's, you know, mandatory. So we're going to begin with the confusion that happens in Romans and Galatians, and which is easy to be confused. So we're going to go to Romans 1:17 and kind of look at the faith that we're kind of raised with, and then we're going to look at studying its fullness. Let's see here, 1:17. We're going to look at a few little things. For a righteousness of God, or Yahweh, is therein revealed by faith unto faith, even as it is written. Now we go to 3:22. Start seeing faith all the way through Romans. 3:22. A righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Christ unto all that have faith, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Now we go to verse 28. For we reckon that a man is to be declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law. So this is what we're going to get involved in on that situation. 5:1. Romans 5:1. Having therefore been declared righteous by faith, let us have peace towards Yahweh through our Lord Yahushua Mashiach. And you, many people hear that, saved by faith, not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone, different things. Now we go to Galatians, the other big faith book, addressing these situations, 3:11. Moreover, that the law, no one is declared righteous with Yahweh, is evident, because the righteous one by faith shall live.
You said okay. Ephesians 3:11?
I'm sorry, Galatians. Oh. I say Ephesians. Galatians 3:11.
Maybe I heard you wrong, sorry.
Now go to 22, Ephesians. In the law, then, against the promise of Yahweh, far be it, for if the law had given, which had been able to give life, that's 22. But the Scriptures did shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Yahushua Mashiach might be given to them who have faith. Before the coming of the faith, however, under the law, were we being kept inward, being shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And so obviously this becomes confusing in these particular areas. And let's look at 26. For ye are all sons of Yahweh through the faith in Christ Yahushua. So we're going to look at and study that the law and faith to kind of get understanding, because people, I've seen many institutions, and it's usually not Catholic, it's Protestants, and it's usually evangelical, if anybody, it's not Baptists. So somehow they feel that it's not by works, and that means you can do anything that you want. You can sin. And it's fine because it's by faith. And we're going to find out that's very dangerous, and I've seen it practically happen. And we're going to look at the total picture of Abraham. And it's not the faith of Lot, but it's the faith of Abraham, or Abram. You know, and why Abram instead of Lot? Well, Lot didn't end very well, as we can see. And Lot really followed Abram. And so there's conditions on this that we're going to kind of understand. And the biggest one is to stop the misunderstanding that when they say the law, we're talking about Levitical law, which obviously in Romans and Galatians we're addressing, because in Galatians it's talking about circumcision. And that was the whole point of people going back to circumcision. So we're going to say there's a Levitical law, and then there's the righteous law. And throughout the whole church epistles, we have laws upon laws upon laws that we're told to do. And let's just look at an example. 1 Corinthians 6. And it, you know, it's full of it. And so this is not a license to sin. And so most people have done that with faith, saved by faith. And usually they enjoy sin, and when they got delivered from sin, then they got into, you know, purity, but then all of a sudden they realized, well, I could actually sin, because I think as Andrew Womack said, not only are my sins be forgiven, my past sins will be forgiven, but my future sins have already been forgiven, which is just bizarre to be able to say that, but he propounds that. Now, he's also the guy who will not smoke a cigarette or have liquor. He says, a cigarette's never touched my mouth, and liquor's never touched my mouth, which is a real problem, because obviously you've really exalted yourself, and I think you should be able to have a puff of a cigarette and have some liquor touch your lip, and then you'll have to say that again.
It really is exalting
yourself is what it comes down to. And he's a good individual. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9, or know you, no, this is Paul, and the same information through Galatians and Romans. And by faith we are saved through Christ. For know you not that wrongdoers shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom? Be not deceiving yourself, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit Yahweh's kingdom. And these things were some of you, but ye bathed them away. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach and in the Ruach of our God. And so we see this all the way through here. Don't do this. Don't do this and do this. Here's the works of the flesh. Here is the fruit of the Ruach. It goes on and on. But let's look at the faith of Abram. So we're going to be focusing on the faith of Abram. We're going to be doing a little, I'll put this on our website. And on this is a little history on Abram and Sarah, which is a great, a great illustration on their faith, because they were promised to have heir. And really look at, I'm starting to think about Abram and Sarah as really being Yahweh. And why? He was promised a son, and had to wait a long time, 25 years, before he got that promise came to pass.
Wow.
And then he was told to sacrifice his son. And that's what Yahweh did with his son, allowed him a son. And actually, Isaac allowed himself to be sacrificed.
And Yahweh,
Yahushua allowed himself to be sacrificed. So there's a great connection there. But he was told that you're going to have, you know, as we know, your children shall be as the stars of the heaven. Well, when we look at the account, Sarah only saw one star, and that was Isaac. So she died before Isaac was married. And Abram only saw three stars. So he saw Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. So Abram was 75 years old when he started his journey. Sarah is 65. Sarah's the only woman in the word that gives her age. She's 10 years younger than Abram. That's Genesis 7:17. They were called in Genesis 12:4. Abraham, when they had Isaac, was 100. Genesis 21:5. Sarah died when Abram was 137. She's 10 years younger than Abram. The book gives the death of her of 127. Well, then Abram was 137. He's 10 years older. Genesis 23:1. Abram was 140 when Isaac married, so actually Isaac didn't get married until 3 years after his mother died. And you know, I don't know what the deal is with that, but the 40 is such a huge number. I can imagine his mother saying, "Get a wife! You're 40 years old. You're 37 years old.
I want to see the star."
Yeah, there's people 18 years old who have wives. What's going on here? I don't know, but he was 40. 40 is a neat number. And then when he had Esau and Jacob, he was 60. So it says he was born, Abram was 100 years old when he was born. If he's 60, how old is Abram?
160.
He's 160 years old. And that's when Esau and Jacob are born, Genesis 25:26. And then he dies at age 175, Genesis 25:7. So it's all documented out, but he had a promise that he only saw a glimpse. And so with all of this many times in his lifetime, we have no idea what followed. And that came about with Jacob, or Jacob, and the 12 sons and the daughter, and then his blue, too. Till when Moses leave, there's 650,000 men, and so you're talking about probably a million and a half people in Egypt, all from Isaac. You know, fascinating. But look at Genesis 26, 1 through 5. We're going to see the parameters of this father of ours. I'm going to read this. This is Yahweh talking to Isaac. And there came to you a famine in the land besides the first famine, which happened in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went his way unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, towards Gerar. And Yahweh appeared to him and said, so this is Yahweh talking, do not go down unto Egypt, towards Egypt. Make thy habitation in the land which I may name unto thee. Sojourn in this land that I may be with thee and bless thee, for to thee and to thy seed will I give all these lands. So will I establish the oath which I swear to Abraham thy father, and will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and will give to thy seed all these lands, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves in thy seed. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing so? The faith, we have to think of the faith of Abraham. Think of the word faith as representing obedience of Abraham. Obedience of Abraham. Because that Abraham hearkened unto my voice, and so kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That is our father that we're supposed to emulate. To hearken unto Yahweh, in which means to obey, to listen to, and to keep his charge, commandments, thy statutes, and thy laws. So Romans 3 and Galatians 3 have to unite and bring the same message about the faith of Abraham. Is that, is hearkening unto Yahweh. Now we know the faith is the Hebrew word aman, which means certainty. So actually it's going to be used in different areas. The literal meaning is certainty. And when we start saying the faith of Christ, it's not the certainty of Christ, but there is a connection of completely leaning upon Christ. And it's going to use in a figurative instead of a literal sense. So when you say the faith of Abraham, we can't say the certainty of Abraham. Well, what does that mean? The certainty of Abraham. The certainty that Abraham had in Yahweh is what we're looking at. The certainty that we have in, that Christ had and that we have in Christ, the certainty is they are the ones that we're going to follow in their footsteps. And the Greek word that the Septuagint translate aman was pistula, just like a pistol. That almost sounds like a Hispanic. Pistola. And that's number 4100. The number on aman is 539. And it's very important on aman because it's not, we have today, just trust, just have faith. And that is not what aman means. Aman means I'm certain. And certainty is what we can be certain about. Obviously, with us, certain about the resurrection, we have no doubt about that. And why? Because our lives are focused on that. And our actions validate that. Now, if we had any hindrance or hesitation on that, we would not do what we're going to do. I have the certainty that the sun will be on the horizon every day. No doubt about it. If I had to bet all my life savings on that fact, I would. That's called certainty. It's not trusting. It's certainty. So the first usage is with Abraham. Genesis 15:6. This is his first usage. Very appropriate. And everything's based on this usage. And he had aman in Yahweh, so it reckoned it to him as righteousness. 15:6. That's the first use of aman. Also, the word believe, or he believed Yahweh. And so we have the noun and the verb. The verb is usually going to be believe. The noun is going to be faith, which to us it should be aman, which is certainty. And just to give you another example of it, let's go to Genesis 45 of aman, how it's used and unrelated. 45:26. And they told him, saying, Joseph is to obviously to Jacob. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, yet indeed he is ruler in all of the land of Egypt. And his heart became faint, for he believed them not. Aman them not. So he was not certain. So when you say believe, he was not certain, which obviously that is, God, what's it been? Probably 15 years at least without Joseph. And now you're saying he's not only not dead, he's ruling the biggest kingdom in the world.
He's the president. Is the believed Aman?
So I can see why he did not Aman that.
Is believed Aman?
Yeah, that's believed. That's Aman. Aman, and this is where we get the word amen, which is really amen. So that's A-M-E-N. And we know when somebody says amen, that means certainty.
So be it.
Aman is A-M-A-N. Tied to the same situation. Let's go to Exodus 4:1, and we're going to look at this. Used a lot in Exodus 4. This is Yahweh talking to Moses. Then responded Moses and said, "And lo, they will not Aman me, neither hearken to my voice, for they will say, Yahweh hath not appeared unto thee." Okay, usage. Verse 5. "That they may believe or Aman that Yahweh Elohim of the fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." There's the next usage. Verse 8. "And thus shall be come to pass, if they do not believe Aman me." Okay. Now we go to 9. "And it shall come to pass, if they will not Aman even these two signs, nor hearken to thy voice." And so you're seeing all the way through there, verse 31, same chapter. "And the people Aman, and when they heard that Yahweh had concerned himself for the sons of Israel, that he had looked upon their humiliation, and they bent their heads and bowed themselves down." So that is Aman. Pistola is first usage, and we don't have to go there, Matthew 8:13. And when it says Abraham believed God, that's in Romans 4:3, it's pistola. And so obviously that's quoting
Aman.
Genesis, let's say 15:6. Aman, pistola. Okay, so that is the two. Now, we're going to see Abram and Sarai's faith in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, we're going to look at our lives. You know, Abram and Sarai did not have the book that we have today. They didn't have Moses. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. Okay. But they're going to do what is righteous. And we saw that Yahweh gave them instructions. And so when Yahweh spoke to them, guess what? They did what he said. Yahweh speaks to us through his word. And if he says, "Do not fellowship with fornicators," you know what that means? Don't fellowship with fornicators.
Yeah.
What about a fornicator in your family? Are they going to call cohabitating or living together? You tell them, quit, or we have no connection, because it says not even to eat with such a person. That tells us what to do. The faith of Abraham, if Abraham heard that, what he would do? He would honor everything that Yahweh spoke. If you do not honor what Yahweh says, then you're not walking in the faith of Abraham. Yeah, or Sarah, period. You're in disobedience, because, and I've got that, you know, we're now sodomy, and we're going to call people gay. which is you never use an euphemism for wickedness. You know, it's not having an affair, it's committing adultery. It's not gay, it's sodomy. They're sodomites. That's real simple. They're not transgender, they're effeminates. You know, which is, a blasphemy to Yahweh. And you call that, and if somebody says, well, I'm going to let them come to my church, then you are not working in the city of Abraham. You're actually disobeying and defying what Yahweh says. Because he says, don't do that. You tell a person, here's the way it is. You have to stop that. Well, no, I'm not going to stop that, but I really love your church. You know what you say? You can't come to our church. How dare you? And that's where people are today. So we're going to see in, look how the faith, and keep thinking of Auburn, obedience. And Sarah just goes in conjunction with that. And 12:1, and Yahweh said unto Auburn, come thou on thy way. Now this is, does Yahweh speak to us?
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole book is speaking to us. This whole book is speaking to us. It's telling us what to do and what not to do. And then also, there's going to be a time where it's called revelation, or a communication is going to come to us to do something that's not written in this book. It's not going contrary to this book. To do something to set somebody else free, or to give a person, like I say, a warning shot across the bow. You know, sometimes a person's in sin, and Yahweh says, do a warning shot. And so you mail them a letter, you give them a conversation, you call them, you text them, but you quote the scripture. And that is, are you going to obey or not obey? And that is obeying Yahweh, because he's telling us, because we have Ruach HaKodesh, he's inside us, giving us information daily, and because we're the body of the Christ. There we go. And Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way out of the land, out of the place of thy birth, and out of the house of thy father, unto the land which I will show thee, that I may make thee into a great nation, and bless thee, and make great thy name, and become thou a blessing, that I may bless him who bless thee, but him who maketh a lie to thee will I curse. So shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground. And Abram, it's called obedience, came on his way according to what Yahweh has spoken unto him, and Lot came with him. Does Yahweh speak to us? Yes, that is the faith of Abraham. Now we go into 15, Genesis, the faith of Abraham. 15:1-6. And after these things came the word of Yahweh unto Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to thee, thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, my Lord Yahweh, what canst thou give me when I am going on childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, lo, to me hast thou not given seed, and lo, a son of my household is my heir. Now just remember, Yahweh says you're going to be a great nation. It's going to be 25 years before Sarai, or 24 years before, and 3 months before Sarai gets pregnant. That's a long promise to be waiting on. And Abraham in verse 3, lo, to me hast thou not given seed, and lo, a son of my household is my heir. And lo, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but one who cometh forth out of thy body, he shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look steadfastly, I pray thee, toward the heavens and under the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, thus shall be thy seed. And he had faith, there it is, verse 15, he said, faith in Yahweh, so I reckon it to him as righteousness. And he said unto him, I am Yahweh who brought thee forth out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit. This is the obedience, okay, that he had to do. Stars of the heaven. Let's go here. Genesis 21. What was the other condition? It's something called circumcision before Isaac was born. Very important. These are the laws and commandments of Yahweh. He said he obeyed his statutes, the laws and his commandments. So let's look at 21:1-4. Oh yeah. Let's go to 17 first. Genesis 17, 9 through 13. Should have done this first. 9 through 13. And Elohim said unto Abraham, but as for thee, my covenant must thou keep. The covenant is you're going to obey my voice. Obey my voice. Thou and thy seed after thee to this their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep betwixt me and you, and thy seed after thee to circumcise you every male. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, so it shall become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised you, every male in your generation. He that is born of the house, and he that is brought with silver, of any son of a stranger who is not of thy seed, he must surely be circumcised, born of thy house, or brought with thy silver. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, for age abiding covenant. But as for the uncircumcised male who shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from among his people. My covenant hath he made void. Abraham completely obeyed that, because in Genesis 21, 1 through 4, he circumcised Isaac. Was that an option? You know, so I mean, it's the same way with us today. Yahweh says, you know, any kind of believer, somebody who knows the scripture and is in defiant and become a drunkard, become a fornicator, you just cut him off. That's it. It's not an option. And like here, it's not an option whether they're circumcised or not. And Yahweh emphatically says, if they do not, if they refuse circumcision, bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're not part of us. We go into 22 Genesis. And that's obedience. Obedience. He didn't hesitate at all. And 1 to 2, we know this story. This is obedience. And it came to pass after these sayings that Elohim did prove Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold me. And he said, take, I pray thee, thy son, thy only one, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get into the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there as an ascending sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall name unto thee. Wow, it's just, that is obedience. That is the faith of Abraham. And so when people think that you can have a license for sin because I'm saved by faith, no, that's the faith we're supposed to live up to. He's willing to sacrifice his own only begotten son because he also believed that Yahweh would resurrect him, which we're going to find out in Hebrews 11. Because he was the heir. That is faith, which is obedience. It is obedience, obedience, obedience. Well, I don't like that word obedience, because that's going to put me under a law. Yes, you're under the law of what Yahweh says. If he says you don't have to circumcise anymore, you don't have to circumcise. If he says the Levitical law is no longer, the Levitical law is no longer. You don't have to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. But keep that in perspective. 11, Hebrews 11, and 17 to 19. Let me see here. 17 to 19. Yeah, let's go to the first part, though. I didn't write that down right. Let's see. Verse 8 of 11. By faith being called, Abraham obeyed. See that? Faith, by faith being called, faith is obedience. Faith is obedience. Faith is obedience. And we're going to see that in James. It says, if you say you have faith, I'm going to see your works. And if you don't have the works, if Abraham with Isaac said, okay, I believe you, I'm going to sacrifice Isaac, and he just ignored the whole thing, then he didn't have faith. Faith is obedience. Let's see here. By faith, verse 8, being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance, and he came forth not well knowing whether he was coming. And so this happens many times. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen. And that is a certainty that I am being led. And Yahweh says to do this, it doesn't make sense, like giving money away. You know, giving money, and I'm supposed to get richer by giving money away. Does that make sense into the world? Absolutely not. But it is a validation that what Yahweh says, I'm going to do. whether he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land. That's obedience, in a tent dwelling, along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh. And that's with us, too. We've got to realize, obeying Yahweh, we're going to be hated by the world. That comes with it. If you're not ready for that, then you're not going to fall in Abraham's footsteps. Realize that, because I'm going to sacrifice the world, be not loving the world, nor the things that are in the world. For the things in the world, I forget what that is. 1 John 2:15-16. Yeah, but they are, you know, you just don't go there. And that means you're going to pay a price. Yes, I'm going to pay a price. Because I'm going to stand with righteousness. I'm not going to be avoided at parties. I'm not going to be in political organizations, because I could be shunned. So if I say things, that comes with, because they say if they hate me, they're going to hate you. That when a person is offered to become a Christian, that needs to be told them. You're agreeing to become a Christian, which means you're going to obey this book. Christ is going to be your master or your maestro. And guess what? He says you're going to be hated. Is that all right? Do I become a Christian? Think about it. Think about it. Mull it over. Well, I don't like that last part. I'm going to be hated. Nobody says that. You know, at the Billy Graham Crusades and things like that, nobody even does that. 10, for he was waiting for the city, having foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh. By faith, even Sarah herself received power for founding a seed, even beyond the season of life prime. Now, let me ask you. He says you're going to have a child to, you know, to a 100-year-old. I mean, he's 99. She's 89. You know, when they have Isaac, they're 100. Does that mean you have to have sexual intercourse? Yes. If you don't have sexual intercourse, you're not going to have a baby. All right, so that means, okay, then we've got to do this. That's part of the plans. That's called action. That is faith in action. Seeing that faithful, she reckoned him that had promised, wherefore even one from were born, and through these things, one who had become dead, like the stars of the heaven, for multitude, as the sand that is by the lip of the sea, that cannot be numbered. Wow. And then we go to 17 and 19. By faith, when tested, offered up Isaac. So, and what by faith is, I rest in Yahweh's words. He tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. This book first. If you don't obey this book, he's not going to give you communications. I have to be faithful in all aspects. And the only begotten was he have offered up who the promise had accepted, even him who had been said, and Isaac shall be called to thee a seed, a kind that even from among the dead, Yahweh was able to awaken Igaro, when even in multitude he bare him away. So we see, now we go to James 2, Hebrew James. And with Romans and Galatians, this has to be, it looks like a complete contradiction, because so you know, it's hard to understand. You can see how, if you only read those books and don't read the Old Covenant, you don't read these other things, you're going to be deceived in that particular area. Or not deceived, you're going to misunderstand what we're talking about. So 14, James 2, what profit, my brother, if one should be saying he hath faith but hath not works? Can his faith save him? And so we would say, yes. But if a brother or sister should be naked and coming short of his daily food, and one from among you should say unto him, withdraw in peace, be getting warmed and fed, but should not give unto them the things needful for the body, what's the profit? So also faith, if it had not works, is dead by itself. But, okay, this has to reconcile with Romans and Galatians. But one will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I will unto thee will show by my works my faith. You believe in Yahweh? Walk the walk. Now believest that Yahweh is one? Thou hast do it well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But art thou willing to learn, O empty man, that faith apart from works is idle? Abraham, our father, was it not by works he was declared righteous? And so it looks like it says he was declared righteous by faith. Well, he was. But the faith had to be works. He had to leave his homeland when Yahweh told him to do that. He had to have sexual intercourse with his wife. He had to offer up Isaac. So all these things, that is faith of Abraham, his obedience by the words of Yahweh. When he offered up Isaac's son upon the altar, thou seest that his faith had been working together with his works, and by his works did his faith become fulfilled, full grown. And the scriptures fulfill, it says, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And there it ties it all together. And Yahweh's friend he was called. You see that by works a man is declared righteous and not by faith alone. And we see that with Rahab the harlot. It brings that down. That she could have said, I believe. Well, hide these spies. Well, I'm not going to hide these spies. That could kill me. No, her actions by hiding the spy, which jeopardized her life and her family's life, Rahab was declared righteous because of the actions that she did. So, when people start talking about not by faith of righteousness, by his works alone, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone, complete, so you got to make sure all this comes together. So we'll end there. And I have a prophecy. According to that's operating in faith also. So if you or your church does not do 1 Corinthians 14, they're not walking in faith. It says you can do it. Do it. You can speak in tongues, you can interpret, and you prophesy. So we'll have a prophecy. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Be at peace and know that I dwell in peace. You are safe, as I have told you. Safety is part of my plan for your life, but be not anxious for tomorrow, but know that I abide in tomorrow. I have seen your paths before you. So do not be anxious or apprehensive, but walk forth surely knowing that I am with thee, that I'm guiding your footsteps, and walk in the treasures of my word and multiply my word into your mind, into your thoughts, and into your families in order that they may see the light and be delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. See you next week.